going to do a little bit different. We're not keeping on. We're not going to finish what we started last week in Hebrews. I do have that outline done, and I would love to share it, but that'll be next week. But Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at a picture of baptism. We're going to look at why we have baptism, why we have a public baptism. One of the reasons, or what this baptism shows. I mean, we have public baptism because Scripture commands it. Repent and be baptized. And other places where it talks about baptism, Jesus himself was baptized for our example. But what I want to look at this morning is in Romans chapter 6, I want to look at the picture, because baptism is a physical picture of what has happened spiritually for us and to us and in us. So it's a physical picture of what is spiritual. So I want you to look at that with me this morning. I'm not going to take real long because we've got seven folks who are going to be baptized this morning. So we're going to go through this. But in Romans, before we start, why don't we go ahead and pray? Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for the true baptism that happens in our hearts when we trust in your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we can have new life because of what he has done for us. Father God, that baptism was a spiritual baptism, and it's nothing that we can do physically, but Father, we show it physically when we are baptized in water. And Lord, as we see the picture here of what truly happened to us when we're saved, Father, I pray that you would help us to understand even more how great you are and how great your love is for us. We are absolutely humbled by what you have done for us because we don't deserve any of it. Father, thank you for your tremendous gift of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Romans, I've preached through this a couple of times now, and in the first three chapters, we see the devastation of sin and how everyone falls under sin. The end of chapter 3, it says, "For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God." But then we start looking at the gift. The wages of sin is death. We get to the end of chapter 6, and we see the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life. So that kind of sums up what he's gone through. So in chapter 4, we see that we believe. When we believe, we have eternal life. In chapter 5, we see that lambano, that receive, we can receive that gift. But at the end of chapter 5, he talks about, look what it says, the last couple of verses, verse 20. He talks about those the law and what was given. God gave the law, but he says the law came in so that the transgression would increase. In other words, to make sin more apparent, to show sin for what it is. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So he gives this final thought here in chapter 5, and he says, you know, the law came not to save us, but to show us to be unworthy. And then he says, but where we're unworthy, that makes grace even greater, abound even more. So then the question comes up in chapter 6, the first couple verses, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace can just be greater and greater? And he says, God forbid. That word meganoita, we've looked at that. Meganoita, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And then he goes on and gives a picture. He goes on and gives us exactly what happened when we're saved. Because those who have died to sin are those who have trusted Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. That's what he's talking about. Chapter 4, they believe in the Lord Jesus. Chapter 5, they've received that free gift. And he goes on and he says in verse 3, or do you not know that all of us, and that word know is growing in knowledge, do you not grow in this knowledge that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Now we're not talking the physical baptism here, we're talking the spiritual baptism, but this is what this picture of physical baptism represents. And these folks who are being baptized today, they are showing you that they have received this gift of spiritual baptism. Look what it says. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized spiritually into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Where was his death? It was on the cross. He's talking about his physical death, where he died on the cross. Therefore, and by the way, his spiritual death on the cross, where he said, my God, why have you forsaken? Remember that? Where for 3 hours he was separated from his Father, that spiritual death he took for us. And then he said, it is finished. And he died that physical death. Look at verse 4. Because verse 4, to me, is a crux. It shows the whole picture of what's going on today. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So there's the picture. Christ died, and he was buried, and he rose again. Now here we practice baptism by immersion. We get in the tank and we put the person under the water and back up. And that's a picture of what this is. The death of Christ, burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. It's a picture of what truly happens in our life when we're saved, when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior. If you look at verse 4, it says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, there's something that happens. Because Christ was raised from the dead, do you realize that if Jesus had come and he had died for us and was buried and stayed in the grave, that we would have forgiveness, but we would still die? When he was raised, he gave us eternal life, new life. So we not only have forgiveness of sins, but we have life. And that life means something. And here's what it means at the end of verse 4, because this is fun. Look at what it means. Raised to the glory of the Father, so we too might what? Have that resurrected life. And what does that mean? Walk in newness of life. So that means, what that means is my life changes from when I haven't trusted in Jesus Christ to when I have trusted in Jesus Christ. I was walking before as a slave to sin. Now I can walk as a slave to God. Now I can walk in newness of life, having new life. Because of the resurrection, because I'm identifying with the resurrection, now I can live a certain way. I can live out my faith, live out who I am in Christ, live out my identity. So you see, when this happens here, when we get baptized publicly, all of you watch. And you say, well, that person that's baptized, now they have publicly said that they are children of God. They are adopted into God's family. And so you all get to look at them and expect something different. You realize that? Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Now, it doesn't mean that this person is now going to act perfectly, okay? Because you don't either. All right? Yeah. Right. Wait, Raymond, right? Okay. No, it means that this person, yes, they're still human. But in fact, they have the ability now, because the Holy Spirit lives in them, to walk in newness of life. Whereas before they didn't have that ability. It's much the same as I was talking to Chris about this. If you join the NRA, let's say you join the NRA, and you had an NRA cap, said NRA on it, and an NRA belt buckle, and a little patch, if they give you a patch or a button or something, you know. And you walked around with that, and I looked at you, and I would say, you know what? I think you probably like guns, right? Isn't that what you'd say about someone who's joined the NRA? They probably like guns. Well, think of it this way. When you join the family of God, people look at you and they don't expect you to say, they don't go around and say, well, you know, I expect him to be a liar because he got baptized. He's a Christian. I just expect him to be a liar. Or I expect him to be dishonest. No, you don't. You expect the opposite. Why? Because that's what God commands in Scripture. That's how God desires that we live. We live in newness of life. And you cannot ever live in newness of life without the Holy Spirit living in and through you. You cannot. Because it's spiritual life is spiritually discerned. Spiritual walk is spiritually. Jesus himself, while he was on earth, said what? I don't say anything unless my Father tells me. I don't do anything unless the Holy Spirit does it. He was totally dependent on his Father to live godly. And Jesus is God. He could have done so without, but he wasn't. He did totally depended. He was 100% human, and he totally depended upon his Father. He walked in newness of life because God the Father desired it, because the Holy Spirit worked through him. You have God the Father. You have the Holy Spirit if you have been spiritually baptized into his family. That's what this is a picture of. That's what we'll be showing today. Keep going. Look at verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, that's what we do in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, this is what spiritually happened, our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, so we can walk in newness of life. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, you see the picture here? Died with Christ? Christ having been raised from the dead? Is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Now, look at this verse. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That word consider is in the middle voice in the original language, which means you, yourself, consider yourself to be dead, having been buried, and alive to Christ. Dead to sin, which is our former life, alive to Christ. Does that mean we never sin again? No, it doesn't, because we still have this flesh. But it does mean we have an advocate with the Father. It does mean we have the Holy Spirit in us convicting us of sin. It does mean we have the opportunity to live a new life, to live godly in this present world. How do we live godly in this present world? Titus, recognize the grace of God. That's why it said in chapter 5, where sin abounds, what? Grace superabounds. And Titus says, it's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly desires, live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So when we understand his love, when we understand his grace, then this picture that we're doing today becomes real in your life spiritually. And when that becomes real in your life spiritually, Scripture says, make it public. Show it publicly so every one of you can hold everyone here accountable. Why do we want to make ourselves be held accountable? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're a family. We're a spiritual family. Isn't that cool? We belong to each other. We help each other. We encourage each other. As Galatians 6 says, when one of us has fallen into a pit of sin, we come along gently and help them out, knowing full well we can be in that pit next week and need help out. But we do that for each other. That's why baptism is important. Water baptism is important, because then we are showing exactly what has happened to us spiritually. We have a physical picture of it right here. So that's what we're doing today. Water baptism will not save you. Okay, and there's different modes of baptism in different places. We believe here in immersion, where you go under the water and come up out of the water. Death, burial, resurrection is, I think, it's one of the truest pictures of that spiritual rebirth that we've had. But that's what we're going to do today. For those who have come and have trusted Christ and have never been baptized, God's word says that it's an obedience, a first step of obedience. There you go. I kept thinking a rule. No, that's not right. It's a duty. No, that's not right. It's an obedience. It's the first step of obedience. When you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you've given your life to Christ. Given your life to God, you have trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ to save you. He has put his Holy Spirit in you. You now have the ability to live a godly life because he is living it through you. You don't have any ability but what he gives you. And he can live his life through you and show others his life so that others might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You realize that? That's what that verse means? That we now have the obligation towards good works. Why? So that others can see our good works and we can say, look at what I've done, right? No, we can say, look at what God has done. Look at those, I couldn't do this, God had to do it. And he can love others through you. Praise the Lord. So this is a picture of that. And we have seven this morning who are going to be baptized. And so I'd like those seven to, and the ones helping also, to come on back and head on down and get ready. I've got Ben and Matt.